Canst thou with deep premeditated lines, with written pamphlets studiously devised, country of Gloucester, if thou canst accuse or aught intends to lay unto my charge, do it without invention suddenly. As I with sudden and extemporal speech purpose to answer what thou canst object.
Presumptuous priest! This place commands my patience, or thou shouldst find thou hast dishonored me. Think not, although in writing I preferred the manner of thy vile, outrageous crimes, that therefore I have forged, or am not able verbatim to rehearse my method penned. No, prelate, such is thy audacious wickedness. Thy lewd, pestiferous, and dissentious pranks, as very infants prattle of thy pride. Thou art a most pernicious usurer, froward by nature, enemy to peace, lascivious, wanton more than well beseems a man of thy profession and degree. And for thy treachery, what's more manifest in that thou laidst a trap to take my life, as well at London Bridge as at the Tower? Besides, I fear me, if thy thoughts were sifted, the king, thy sovereign, is not quite exempt from envious malice of thy swelling heart.
Gloucester, I do defy thee. Lords, vouchsafe to give me hearing what I shall reply.
Aye.
If covetous, ambitious, or perverse as he will have me, how am I so poor?
Ha!
How haps it that I seek not to advance or raise myself, but keep my wonted calling? And for dissension, who preferreth peace more than I do? Except I be provoked. No, my good lord, it is not that offends. It is not that that hath incensed the duke. It is because no one should sway but he. No one but he should be about the king. And that engenders thunder in his breast and makes him roar these accusations forth. But he shall know I am as good.
As good? Thou bastard of my grandfather!
My lordly sir. And what are you, I pray, but one imperious in another's throne?
Am I not protector, saucy priest?
Am not I a prelate of the church?
Yes, as an outlaw in a castle keeps and useth it to patronage his theft.
Unreverend Gloucester.
Thou art reverend, touching thy spiritual function, not thy life.
Rome shall remedy this.
Rome thither, then.
My lord, it were your duty to forbear.
Methinks my lord should be religious and know the office that belongs to such.
Methinks his lordship should be humbler. It fitteth not a prelate so to plead.
Yes, when his holy state is touched so near.
State holy or unholy, what of that? Is not his grace protected to the king?
Plantagenet, I see you must hold his tongue. Lest it be said, speak, sirrah, when you should. Must your bold verdict enter talk with lords? Else would I have a fling at Winchester.
Uncles of Gloucester and of Winchester, special watchmen of our English weal, I would prevail, if prayers might prevail, to join your hearts in love and amity. What a scandal is it to our crown that two such noble peers as ye should jar? Believe me, lords, my tender years can tell, civil dissension is a viperous worm that gnaws the bowels of the Commonwealth.
An uproar, I dare warrant, begun through malice of the bishop's men.
Stone! Stone! Oh, good lords, and virtuous Henry, pity the city of London, pity us. The bishop and the Duke of Gloucester's men, forbidden late to carry any weapon, have filled their pockets full of pebble stones, and banding themselves in contrary parts, do pelt so fast at one another's pate that many have their giddy brains knocked out. Our windows are broke down in every street, and we, for fear, compelled to shut our shops.
We charge you on allegiance to ourselves to hold your slaughtering hands and keep the peace. Pray, Uncle Gloucester, mitigate this strife.
Nay, if we be forbidden stones, we'll fall to it with our teeth.
Do what you dare. We are as resolute.
You up my house, huh? Leave this! Pay this! Fall! come fight us on.
My lord, we know your grace to be a man just and upright, and for your royal birth inferior to none. But to his majesty, I dare that we will suffer such a prince, so kind a father of the Commonweal, to be disgraced by an inkhorn mate. We and our wives and children all will fight and have our bodies slaughtered by thy foes.
I and the very parents of our males shall pitch a field when we are dead.
And I, stay, I say! And if you love me, as you say you do, let me persuade you to forbear a while.
Discord doth afflict my soul. Can you, my lord of Winchester, behold my sighs and tears and will not once relent? Who should be pitiful if you be not? Or who should study to prefer a peace if holy churchmen take delight in broils?
My lord protector, yield. Yield, Winchester, except you mean with obstinate repulse to slay your sovereign and destroy the realm.
He shall submit, or I will never yield.
Compassion on the king commands me, Stoop. And I would see his heart out ere the priest should ever get that privilege of me!
Behold, my lord of Winchester, the duke hath banished moody, discontented fury, as by his smoothed brows it doth appear. I look you still so stern and tragical.
Here, Winchester, I offer thee my hand.
Fie, Uncle Beaufort. I have heard you preach that malice was a great and grievous sin. Will you not maintain the thing you teach, but prove a chief offender in the same?
For shame, my lord of Winchester, relent. What shall a child instruct you what to do?
Well, Duke of Gloucester, I will yield to thee. Love for thy love, and hand for hand I give.
Aye, but I fear me with a hollow heart. See here, my loving friends and countrymen! This token serveth as a flag of truce betwixt ourselves and all our followers. So help me God, as I dissemble not.
So help me God, as I intend it not.
Oh, loving uncle, kind Duke of Gloucester, how happy am I made by this contract. Away, my masters, trouble us no more, but join in friendship as your lords have done.
Content. Out of the surgeons.
And so will I.
And I will see what physic the tavern affords.
Accept this scroll, most gracious sovereign, which in the right of Richard Plantagenet we do exhibit to your majesty.
Well urged, my lord of Warwick. Forsooth, prince, and if your grace mark every circumstance, you have great reason to do Richard right, especially for those occasions at Eltham Place I told your majesty.
Those occasions, uncle, were of force. Therefore, my loving lords, our pleasure is that Richard be restored to his blood.
Let Richard be restored to his blood. So shall his father's wrongs be recompensed.
Aye!
As will the rest, so will it Winchester.
If Richard will be true, not that alone, but all the whole inheritance I give that doth belong unto the House of York, from whence you spring by lineal descent.
Thy humble servant vows obedience and humble service to the point of death.
Stoop, then, and set your knee against my foot. And in regarding of that duty done, I girt thee with the valiant sword of York. Rise, Richard, like a true Plantagenet, and rise, created princely Duke of York.
And so thrive, Richard, as thy foes may fall. And as my duty springs, so perish they that grudge one thought against your majesty.
Welcome, High Prince, the mighty Duke of York.
Perish, base prince, ignoble Duke of York.
Now will it best avail your majesty to cross the seas and to be crowned in France. The presence of a king engenders love. amongst his subjects and his loyal friends as it disanimates his enemies.
Gloucester says the word, King Henry goes. A friendly council cuts off many foes.
Your ships already are in readiness.
In England or in France, not seeing what is likely to ensue. This late dissension grown betwixt the peers burns under feigned ashes of forged love and will at last break out into a flame, as festered members rot but by degree, till bones and flesh and sinews fall away, so will this base and envious discord breed. And I fear that fatal prophecy, that in the time of Henry, named the Fifth, was in the mouth of every sucking babe. That Henry, born at Monmouth, should win all. And Henry, born at Windsor, lose all. Which is so plain that Exeter doth wish his days may finish ere that hapless time.
The city gates, the gates of Rouen, through which our policy must make a breach. Now take heed. Be wary how you place your words. Talk like the vulgar sort of market men that come to gather money for their corn. If we have entrance, as I hope we shall, and that we find the slothful watch but weak, I'll by a sign give notice to our friends that Charles the Dauphin may encounter them.
Our sacks will be a mean to sack the city. And we be lords and rulers over ruin. Therefore we'll knock.
Paysans, les pauvres gens de France. Poor market folk that come to sell their corn.
Ain't that? Go in. Market bell's rung.
Now, Rouen, I'll shake thy bulwarks to the ground.
St. Denis bless this happy stratagem, and once again we'll sleep secure in Rouen.
Now she is there, how will she specify where is the best and safest passage in?
By thrusting out a torch from yonder tower, which being discerned shows that her meaning is no way to that for weakness which she entered.
Behold, this is the happy wedding torch that joineth Rouen unto her countrymen, but burning fatal to the Talbanites!
Defer no time, delays have dangerous ends. Enter and cry the Dauphin presently, and then do execution on the watch! Yeah!
Tears. If Talbot but survive thy treachery, who shall but witch that damned sorceress that wrought this hellish mischief unawares, that hardly we escaped the pride of France.
bunchy corn for bread. I think the Duke of Burgundy will fast before he'll buy again at such a rate.
Scoff on, vile fiend and shameless courtesan. I trust ere long to choke thee with thine own and make thee curse the harvest of that corn.
Your grace may starve, perhaps, before that time.
Words, but deeds revenge this treason.
Oh. What'll you do, good greybeard? Break a lance and run a tilt at death within a chair?
Foul fiend of France, and hag of all despite encompassed with thy lustful paramours, becomes it thee to taunt his valiant age and twit with cowardice a man half dead? Damsel, I'll have a bout with thee again, or else let Talbot perish with his shame.
Are ye so hot? Yet, Puss, I'll hold thy peace. If Talbot do but thunder, rain will follow. Godspeed the Parliament. Who shall be the Speaker?
Dare ye come forth and meet us in the field.
The like your lordship takes us them for fools, to try if that our own be ours or no.
I speak not to that railing Hecate, but unto you, Alençon, and the rest. Will ye, like soldiers, come and fight it out?
Signor, no.
Signor, hang! Base Muratius of France. Like peasant footboys do they keep the walls. We'll not take up arms like gentlemen.
Well, captain's away. Let's get us from the walls, for Talbot means no goodness by his looks. Goodbye, my lord. We came to tell you but that we are here.
And there will we be too, ere it be long. Or else reproach be Talbot's greatest fame. Thou, Burgundy, by honor of thy house, pricked on by public wrong, sustained in France, either to get the town again or die. And I, as sure as English Henry lives, and as his father here was conqueror, as sure as in this late betrayed town great Coeur de Lion's heart was buried, so sure I swear to get the town, or die.
My vows are equal partners with thy vows.
But there we go.
Regard this dying prince, the valiant Duke of Bedford. Come, my lord. We will bestow you in some better place, fitter for sickness and for crazy age.
Lord Talbot, do not so dishonor me. Here will I sit before the walls of ruin, and will be partner of your weal or woe.
Courageous Bedford, let us now persuade you.
Not to be gone from hence. Once I read that stout Pendragon on his litter sick came to the field and vanquished his foes. Methinks I should revive the soldiers' hearts, because I ever found them as myself.
Undaunted spirit in a dying breast. Then be it so. Heavens keep old Bedford safe. And now, no more ado, brave Burgundy, but gather we our forces out of hand and set upon the boasting enemy.
John Fastolf in such haste.
Whither away? To save myself by flight. We are like to have the overthrow again.
What? Will you fly and leave Lord Talbot?
Aye, all the Talbots in the world to save my life.
Cowardly knight, ill fortune follow thee!
Quiet soul, depart when heaven please, for I have seen our enemies overthrow. What is the trust and strength of foolish man? They that of late were daring in their scoffs are glad and fain by flight to save themselves.
A day again. This is a double honor, Burgundy. Let heavens have glory for this victory.
Warlike and martial Talbot, Burgundy enshrines thee in his heart and there erects thy noble deeds as valor's monuments.
Yes! Yeah!
The noble Duke of Bedford is deceased.
A braver soldier never couched lance. A gentler heart did never sway in court. But kings and mightiest potentates must die, for that's the end of human misery. I'll see his exequus performed in Rouen. Then we'll take some order in this town, placing therein some expert officers, and then depart to Paris, to the king, for there young Henry and his nobles lie.
What wills Lord Talbot? Pleaseth Burgundy.
Not princes at this accident, nor grieve that ruin is so recovered. Care is no cure, but rather corrosive for things that are not to be remedied. Let frantic Talbot triumph for a while, and like a peacock sweep along his tail. We'll pull his plumes and take away his train, if Dauphin and the rest will be but ruled.
We have been guided by thee hitherto, and of thy cunning had no diffidence. One sudden foil shall never breed distrust.
Then thus it must be. This doth Joan devise. By fair persuasions, mixed with sugared words, we will entice the Duke of Burgundy to leave the Talbot and to follow us.
Aye, marry, sweeting. If we could do that, France were no place for Henry's warriors.
Nor should that nation boast it so with us, but be extirped from our provinces.
Forever shall they be expulsed from France, and not have title of an earldom here.
Your honour shall perceive how I will work to bring this matter to the wished end. Hark. By the sound of drum, you may perceive their powers are marching on to Paris ward. There goes the Talbot with his colours spread, and all the troops of English after him. Now in the rearward comes the Duke and his. Fortune in favour makes him lag behind. Summon a parley. We will talk with him.
A parley with the Duke of Burgundy.
Who craves a parley with the Burgundy?
The princely Charles of France, thy countryman.
What sayest thou, Charles? For I am marching hence.
Speak, Pucelle, and enchant him with thy words.
Brave Burgundy. Undoubted hope of France. Stay, let thy humble handmaid speak to thee.
Speak on, but be not over tedious.
Look on thy country. Look on fertile France, and see the cities and the towns defaced by wasting ruin of the cruel foe. As looks a mother on her lowly babe when death doth close his tender dying eyes. See the pining malady of France. Behold the wounds, the most unnatural wounds which thou thyself hast given her woeful breast. Oh, turn thy edged sword another way. Strike those that hurt. And hurt not those that help. One drop of blood drawn from thy country's bosom should grieve thee more than streams of foreign gore. Return thee, therefore, with a flood of tears and wash away thy country's stained spots.
Either she hath bewitched me with her words, or nature makes me suddenly relent.
Besides, all French and France exclaims on thee, doubting thy birth and lawful progeny. Who joinst thou with but with a lordly nation that would not trust thee but for profit's sake? When Talbot hath set footing once in France, and fashion thee that instrument of ill? Who then but English Henry will be lord, and thou be thrust out like a fugitive? See then, thou fight'st against thy countrymen, and joinst with them will be thy slaughtermen. Come, come, return. Return, thou wandering lord. Charles and the rest will take thee in their arms.
I am vanquished. These haughty words of hers have battered me like roaring cannon shots, and made me almost yield upon my knees. Forgive me, country, and sweet countrymen, and lords, accept this hearty, kind embrace. My forces and my power of men are yours. So, farewell, Talbot. I'll no longer trust thee.
Done like a Frenchman. Turn and turn again.
Welcome, brave Duke. Thy friendship makes us fresh.
And doth beget new courage in our breasts.
Housel hath bravely played her part in this, and does deserve a coronet of gold.
Now let us on, my lords, and join our powers, and seek how we may prejudice the foe.
Gracious prince, and honorable peers, hearing of your arrival in this realm, I have a while given truce unto my wars to do my duty to my sovereign. In sign whereof, this arm that hath reclaimed to your obedience 50 fortresses, 12 cities, and 7 walled towns of strength, beside 500 prisoners of esteem, lets fall his sword before your highness' feet, and with submissive loyalty of heart ascribes the glory of his conquests God. First to my God, and next unto your grace.
Is this the Talbot, Uncle Gloucester, that hath so long been resident in France?
Yes, if it please your majesty, my liege.
Welcome, brave captain and victorious lord. When I was young, as yet I am not old, I do remember how my father said a stouter champion never handled sword. Long since we were resolved of your truth, your faithful service and your toil in war, yet never have you tasted our reward or been regurgled with so much as thanks, because till now we never saw your face. Therefore, stand up, and for these good deserts, we here create you Earl of Shrewsbury, and in our coronation take your place.
That were so hot at sea, disgracing of these colors that I wear in honor of my noble lord of York, darest thou maintain the former words thou spakest?
Yes, sir, as well as you dare patronage the envious barking of your saucy tongue against my lord, the Duke of Somerset.
Sirrah, thy lord I honor as he is.
Why, what is he? As good a man as York.
Hark ye not so. In witness take ye that.
Villain, thou knowest the law of arms is such that whoso draws sword, 'tis present death, or else this blow should breach thy dearest blood. But I'll unto his majesty, and crave I may have liberty to venge this wrong. When thou shalt see, I'll meet thee to thy cost.
Well, miscreant, I'll be there as soon as you, and after, meet you sooner than you would.